Hey everybody, this is the Dumb and the Restless with an exciting announcement.
Yeah, it's October, and so we've decided that we're gonna do a super awesome new giveaway.
Yeah, to celebrate the spookiest month of the year, we are doing a big giveaway on both our Twitter and our Instagram.
Yeah, and we're just going to pool all the people together. We're going to just dump all you guys into the same pot and pick a bunch.
And we have some very fun prizes. We have a custom Dumb and the Restless air freshener.
And it looks so cool,
fresh,
you guys.
Pacific Northwest pine scent.
I'm so excited.
And some bumper stickers and some other stickers. And we will be choosing 5 grand prize winners and then 5 other winners for a smaller prize.
Yep. So to enter on Twitter, you're going to want to make sure that you follow us, that you like the post that I put out, and that you reblog it.
Yeah, the pinned post.
Retweet it. Yes, the pinned post.
Yeah. And to enter on Instagram, there will be a special giveaway post. I'll have it labeled so it's super easy to find. Go ahead and like that post and make sure you're following us. And that is all you have to do to enter this giveaway.
Yep, super simple this time.
Mm-hmm. And we will be putting instructions on our socials and reminding you all throughout the month.
Yep.
You have plenty of time to enter. We will be doing a live drawing on October 31st.
The spookiest day of the year.
For our 10 winners.
Yes.
So go ahead, hit up. If you want to enter on Twitter and Instagram for 2 entries,
go for it.
Totally fine. Go for it. Hit us up. And we are super excited for this month and super excited for this giveaway, and we have some really fun prizes for you. So
yeah, come have fun with us and get into that giveaway, and we'll see you soon.
Enjoy the show.
You always want to put both of them in the car anyway.
It was either a kitty or a raccoon. It had a striped tail, but it was also, like, really small. And I only saw its bottom, but I wish it would come back out of the bushes so I could pet it.
Maybe it was a shadow creature. Because it is October, after all.
No, it was definitely, like, a furry little animal.
Oh, yeah.
Furry little animal, shadow creature, maybe, but my money's on kitty cat. It was a little brown. Raccoons can be brown, though.
Yeah, they can. Maybe it was a marmot.
Welcome to our podcast, Raccoon Talk, with Panda and Morgan.
Welcome to the Dumb and the Restless!
Ready for another exciting afternoon, evening, perhaps, maybe it's your morning commute, of nothing but raccoons, ladies and gentlemen, for a full hour.
Oh my god.
So, buckle up. Today we are talking tail stripe with Does It Matter?
Okay. And now
I'm
you're taking...
Morgan.
You can stop anytime. This is not raccoon talk.
My host was bitten the other day, and that's why they are so belligerent right now.
Yeah, I'm the one with rabies, not you.
Yeah, you're definitely the rabid one in this relationship. For sure.
I know.
I feel like maybe we're all just a little bit old Yeller.
Maybe a little.
You know, maybe someday you'll have to take me out back and just shoot me.
Please don't say that.
I was doing this because I love you.
How are you, Panda? How are you surviving? I mean...
Things are kind of heating up.
I'm alive. Like, things are okay. Things are...
I feel like things have been heating up, though, pretty much since January 1st.
Oh, God. I don't really, like, political climate aside, I'm a permanently exhausted pigeon that is ignoring the doom rectangle as often as humanly possible and instead watching television. So
different doom rectangle. Funny doom rectangle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing.
I feel like if we're talking levels of pigeon, I'm that... Have you seen that video where the guy deep fries a pigeon and then eats it? Like a dead, like rotting pigeon that he found outside. He deep fries it and he eats it, and the entire time he's going, yeah!
What the fuck is wrong
Have you
with
not
you?
Seen that video?
No!
That's the pigeon level that I'm at.
Oh, okay.
And
what the fuck is going on?
As we're recording. I don't know. I guess I'll send it to you.
I don't want to see it. No,
I'm not going to post it on any of our socials, though, because it's nasty.
Like,
nasty and bad.
I don't want to see it. I really, truly do not. But, like, what the fuck is going on to make you feel like a deep-fried dead pigeon?
Well, here's the thing. Our apartment's haunted.
I mean, I know. Like, you've told me some stories.
You know, like, we've definitely talked about this before, because I've lived in the apartment that I live in now with our mutual friend, Eli, and my partner for, like, 2 years now. And so you've heard enough stories, but, like, how it kind of operates is it, like, there's a lot of activity for, like, a week or a month, mm-hmm. and then it kind of goes away for a couple months, and then, okay. like, something else pops up. So it kind of comes and goes in waves, and we haven't had one in a little while, but okay. in the last couple weeks, there have been some pretty questionable things that have happened. Mm. Eli's paintings fell down in their bathroom again, and do you remember the last time that happened?
Yeah.
All of the paintings on their wall in their bathroom were, like, on the floor and in places that they wouldn't be, like, if they had fallen naturally off.
I didn't like that story then, and I don't like it now.
Yeah, so... But the real... The... And there have been other stuff. There have been, like, weird knocks. It's kind of at the point where my very, very skeptical partner, Shiva, who, like, you know, he does not partake in any bullshit of ghosts or aliens or any of that. He's, like, the most boring person on Earth. Casually mentioned our poltergeist the other day as, like, a real quantifiable thing.
Oh, my God.
Which was very upsetting for me. But what happened over the last week...
Okay.
I took a day off, and I woke up at, like, 4 or 5 in the morning out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like my partner was doing dishes in the kitchen very loudly, which, like, he's a night owl. He'll do that in the middle of the night when no one else is awake.
You're gonna tell me this, and I'm never gonna come over to your house again.
You're never gonna fucking come over to my house. So I'm like, okay, I'm putting on my robe. I'm gonna go out there. I'm gonna fucking chew his ass out because I had a bad time, and I have to, like... You know, I have stuff to do. I don't want to be awake at, like, 5 a.m. right now. And I get my robe on, and I go out to the kitchen to see what's going on. Lights are off. Nothing has moved at all. Like, no one was in that fucking kitchen. And I swear it was, like, water running, cabinets, like, opening, like, drawers opening and shutting. Like, my kitchen is very loud. It's very acoustic, and you can hear it from anywhere in the house.
Yeah.
But it just sounded like someone was having a rousing... chore time. And I get in there and nothing is different. Nothing has been cleaned. There's still dishes in the sink. But the very bottom drawer of our, like, little silverware drawer mm-hmm. setup, like, completely open.
Oh my God.
And that's where we
no.
keep, like, appliances and shit that we don't use very often. So
oh,
I was like,
no.
hate this. I don't know. Maybe Shiva got done with the dishes in the time it took for me to get from my bedroom to the kitchen, turned off the lights, and, like, ran into his bed. But I was like, whatever, fuck it. I tucked the drawer back in, I closed it, turned the light back off. The second I get back to my room, Panda, and close my door, it starts up again like it never fucking stopped. Like someone was in there washing dishes the whole time. The second I close the door and I open it again, and it stops, and I go up there, and the fucking drawer is open again.
Oh my God, no!
Nothing else. I didn't see anything moving, but it sounded like the water turned right back on.
Oh my God.
Cabinet started opening.
I hate it.
And all this shit. So that happened, like, last week. And...
All right.
Yesterday night...
We're having Thanksgiving at my house.
I don't know. Yesterday night, my roommate comes up to me, and they were like, hey, isn't this... a bone that, like, hangs out in your room? Because, you know, I have bones all over my fucking room, and I have a big, like, horse vertebrae.
Yeah.
One of the ones that we found hanging yeah. on my wall in my room, and it's a very sturdy spot. It, like, it's not reachable by any of the animals. It's not a spot in my room that I go into. It just fucking stays there. It had been sitting in the middle of our hallway. Just sitting there. And it didn't, like, both of our dogs were in the other room, like, asleep. So, like, it's not like they somehow jumped up on the wall, grabbed the bone, and, like, set it down in the middle of the hallway. So this big chunk of, like, animal vertebrae just sitting in the middle
of
my hallway, coming right off the, like, hot off the fucking dishes thing that happens. Like, it's just...
Oh, my fucking God.
It comes and it goes, but we haven't had, like...
I do not like this at all.
This much activity in a while, and it's just like, come on, dude. Like, can you spare us just this once? Can you chill out with your fucking poltergeist shit? Because I'm not here for it right now. And it doesn't feel demonic or anything.
Yeah.
Like, Eli and I were talking about it, and it's just, it's something that wants us to know that it's there. But it's still like, it's 2020, homie. Like, I'd rather not.
I'd rather not.
I'd rather not be haunted right now. Oh, I have way too much on my mind. So that's what's happening with that. And like,
well,
so today is a timely episode.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm so
fucking
wickedly uncomfortable now. Yeah. So we're doing, Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, baby.
And, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, so enjoy never coming over to my house again.
My sweet Scully.
You'll have to, like, arrange, like, custody. Oh. Custody visits with her out of doors.
Oh my God. I can't. Oh, that's so awful.
Yeah, very upsetting stuff. And I've been waiting to tell you all week, because the second it happened, I needed to be like, Panda!
That's fucking spooky as shit. But you should have just texted me, man.
I'm also mad that I didn't. Well, I was waiting to tell you on the podcast you, like, in the zone for this, because I know your story is extra, like, creepy. But you told me, and I feel like a complete fucking dumbass, because the second I told you that I had some, like, ghost updates, you were like, well, did you catch anything on the recorder?
Oh, yeah.
And I have not plugged that shit in yet. So I'm gonna do it so we can catch if anything's trying to reach out to us.
Now's
while
the time.
It's busy fucking. Even if I catch some ghost shit doing dishes in the middle of the night, I'm gonna, like, piss all over my pants, all over my house, all over you.
Please don't pee on me.
I can't make any promises.
I'm just gonna stay really far away from you.
Ghost voices.
You're gonna
in,
like,
my own home.
You're literally going to call me. You were going to pick up the phone and call,
like,
me.
Trembling. Yeah.
Panda,
I peed.
Okay.
I peed. Okay. Well, tell me about fucking Tina Rush, bro.
So, not a lot of people know about Tina Rush.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with this story.
And I remember Tina Rush from, like, old school Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because, Morgan, not only is this a crazy paranormal story, but there's also some true crime thrown in.
I love that for you.
I was very excited. That was a twist I had forgotten
really?
as an adult.
Awesome. I'm so ready for this.
All right. So, Tina Rush was born on October 23rd, 1969. She's a Scorpio. Like, first day Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
In Columbus, Ohio. After only 10 months, her birth mother brought her to a local hospital and disappeared. That same day, Tina was placed in the home of John and Joan Rush, who had been longtime foster parents to almost 250 kids, which, like, makes you think, like, oh, they must be nice people. They were not nice people.
No, unfortunately, a lot of times, especially back then, that was definitely not how it worked.
So the Rushes already had 5 kids of their own, but they adopted the very bubbly baby Tina.
Oh, baby Tina.
I know.
She has a horrible life ahead of her, doesn't she?
She very much so does.
That sucks for her.
As Tina grew up, her outgoing and sweet personality started to change.
Yeah.
She had the tendency to boil over. She could be loud, and upon being told to quiet down, she would stay loud and shout obscenities.
She often
would exhibit, like, tics and jerky movements, and, like, other parents would always mention to Joan, like, you know, you should get her tested for Tourette's or something. Like, there's obviously something more.
Yeah.
Babe. Yeah. So Joan, her adoptive mom, slapped her across the face after one day of an extremely, like, bad, defiant behavior day. Later, John would start to beat her because of this behavior.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah, so it's not happy. It's really not.
No.
But at age 8, Tina was given a psych evaluation and basically was diagnosed as hyperactive, which back then in, like, the early 70s or whatever, mid-70s, was the nice way of saying ADD.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put her on Ritalin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because she had been disruptive in class and bullied other kids that she would throw things like pencils, erasers, and other small items. But they also admitted that they never actually saw her physically throw anything, but they were convinced she was somehow doing it.
Oh my God.
So she was pulled from public school after her diagnosis, pretty much, because Tina claimed that her teachers would always make this big, like, big-ass deal about pulling her out of the classroom to give her her medication. Mm-hmm. And because of that, all of the other students would, like, make fun of her and call her crazy.
Yeah. Oh, poor babe.
And, like, there was apparently, like, an alleged incident where the kids somehow... I couldn't find any other specifics than one sentence in this one article that I found that was, like, these kids tied her up on the playground and just, like, made fun of her.
Sweetie.
I know. She didn't deserve all of this, honestly. No. She truly did not.
No, and it's always, like... It's always the kids who, like, get bullied that end up, like, having, like, really fucked up paranormal stuff happen to them, like... There's definitely a correlation there. Oh, Tina, I feel for you.
I know.
Sweet pea.
So, she began homeschooling after that, and it kind of turned out to be a good change for Tina, at least on the surface. She began to thrive at home and was able to complete her schoolwork with a private tutor. She helped take care of all, like, the new kids and all the foster kids that were still coming through the house. But it wasn't long before the stress that Tina was subconsciously feeling due to hardly ever leaving the house began to manifest.
Yeah.
Because she, like, never fucking left. She just stayed there.
They're all cooped up forever.
So her parents were obviously abusive, and they were just around her all the time at this point. So when Tina began to act out again, her parents took away all of her privileges. And when that didn't work, they locked her in her room or, you know, abused her further.
Oh, no.
And so she was just really punished severely whenever she was trying to, like, express herself and mm-hmm. try to talk about what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, nail in the coffin number, like, 865. At age 13, her best friend was killed in a car accident.
Oh, fuck.
And Tina felt lost and alone without her and kept acting out further because of it.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
You're gonna say that a lot.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
This is gonna break my heart. Man, bad things happening to good people in this episode today, you guys.
I know. It's very sad.
Oh.
So when she was 14, Tina watched the movie Poltergeist. And shortly after, her family started to notice, like, strange things beginning to happen.
So she was aware of the concept of a poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And so, like, and it's, like, typical stuff. Like, just weird noises in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And just, like, just little things. But on March 1st, 1984, after getting into an argument with Tina, Joan noticed that the numbers and the hands on several clocks in the house began to race. Joan started to see dark shadows. The television set and lights would randomly turn off and on. The radio on her clock radio started blaring and would play even after she unplugged it. The dryer door would slam shut, and both washer and dryer would spontaneously start. And so Joan, being the bitch that she is, was convinced that this was somehow Tina's fault, and started forcing Tina to stay where Joan could see her at all times. Both of them heard the dryer while they were in the same room turn on, followed by the garbage disposal. And then out of nowhere, every single faucet in the house started running at the same time.
Oh my fucking God. How freaked out would you be just sitting there and all that shit happens? Like, I've had minor paranormal stuff happen to me, but like, if my ass was just fucking sitting down and my dryer started running and all my faucets started running, you're looking at me very patiently. I'm just like,
no, just go.
I'm so upset about this. I'm just go. So upset about poltergeists today.
Yes.
And you're about to be too.
So when John came home, like, the entire house was basically going insane. Things were turning themselves on and off with, like, even with being unplugged, like, the toaster was going insane. Every electrical thing in the house they had was being really awkward, so John called up Bruce Claggett, who was a local electrician and handyman, to come check out why his house was, like, fucking off. So Bruce couldn't find shit. Like, he looked at all the electrical boxes and all that stuff. He didn't witness, like, half the crazy stuff that was happening, but he did see, like, lights kind of turn on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruce is like, why don't we tape the light switches? So, because, like, if something's moving them, like, it's going to have to move
try
the tape.
Tape them down, yeah.
Yeah. So, so Bruce and John go through, like, a couple of houses or a couple of rooms on the lower floor, and they, like, tape a couple of the light switches. Whether they're on or off, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But so they like walked out of a room and all of a sudden they heard the light turn on behind them. And they went back into the room and yep, they're sure enough, the tape was gone.
No, hate that.
So John started to finally like lend some credence, like maybe something kind of fucky was going on here, but still kind of believed that it was Tina's fault. Like they both still held that in their mind that like this was all because of Tina, which yeah. in reality it actually was. So Tina actually started getting targeted by this entity, which they later called the Columbus Poltergeist.
Okay.
Tina was getting pushed out of chairs. Things were flying at her with dangerous intent, plates, glasses, all kinds of other shit. At one point, she was even pinned to the floor by a table and a kitchen knife was flung at her.
Holy fuck.
And then Tina started to notice that she was getting headaches and stomach aches, and the timing of that coincided with the worsening phenomenon. So this shit goes on for 4 fucking days, Morgan.
Oh my God.
4 goddamn days until March 5th, when John phones up a family friend, a reporter named Mike Harden, to see if he knew anyone that could just like fucking help already.
Mm-hmm.
So Harden had seen some of the crazy shit that had been going on in the house and decided that he was going to bring over his photographer buddy, Fred Shannon. Harden told Shannon to just point the camera at Tina, but not pay attention, because nothing was really happening when people paid attention to Tina.
Mm-hmm.
It was always like when you looked away, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it always be, man.
And boy, howdy, do I have some cool fucking pictures to show you here in a second.
I have cool pictures for you, too. Oh, you guys, keep an eye on our Instagram.
So Shannon was able to capture a few photos of a phone basically jumping across Tina's lap. Harden's story and the 2 photos that Shannon took were published in the Columbus Dispatch on March 6th and were quickly republished by the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
The family left the home and went to stay in a hotel for 3 days, but the disturbances continued when they returned. So on March 8th, just a couple of days after that...
But they stopped when they were at a hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They held a large press conference, but no activity was recorded, and they had even, like, taken all these reporters and press around their house for, like, a tour or mm-hmm. whatever. And Joan leaned over at one point and said to Tina, something's gotta happen.
Oh, they were trying to get... They were trying to make money off her at this point. Yep. Like, you know, go on, make the poltergeist shit happen again, Tina.
So a local reporter inadvertently left his camera on and it fell to the floor. It had kind of been like left behind, and he only left it behind for a moment. When he watched the footage later, he saw Tina yanking a lamp down when she realized no one was looking and letting out like this big old scream.
Oh.
So the media quickly labeled this as a fraud.
Yeah.
Basically. But like Harden saw a lot more and like believed it a lot more.
Yeah.
So he decided to get in touch with William Roll, the director of the Psychical Research Foundation.
Oh, those are actually the guys who help out Jackie Hernandez in my case.
Hell yeah.
All over the place.
So Roll was an experienced investigator of poltergeist phenomenon. He even coined the term recurring spontaneous psychokinesis, or RSPK,
mm-hmm.
which is something that specifically afflicts, like, adolescents.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that whole, like, idea that the pent-up energy and, like, stress and trauma of specifically, like, adolescent brains in puberty, and especially children with trauma already, like, just...
Making it happen.
Yeah, just extending their energy... Yeah. out in ways that they can't necessarily control and causing yep. stuff like that, which is such an interesting theory. Like,
So Roll actually went to go live in the Rush home for a couple of months and brought a clinical psychologist with him as well, Kelly Powers. And they both got there on March 11th. So this is all happening very fast,
mm-hmm.
very, very fast. And the country's just watching.
Yeah.
So, both of them witnessed several things that Tina said was out of her physical control, even if it appeared that she was in control, kind mm-hmm. of. So they saw her do stuff and she would kind of just say, that wasn't me. But Powers actually was able to see things that were also out of Tina's control completely. So on March 14th, Roll saw a teacup move and Tina wasn't even in the same room.
Yeah.
Over the next 52 minutes, Roll recorded 15 movements of objects and 5 unexplained sounds.
Holy shit.
So Roll decided he was going to take Tina back to his like testing facility and test her psychokinetic powers.
Yeah.
Nothing really came of it. Like, she kind of scored average on all of the tests. She wasn't, like, super special. There was something really about her being in that home that just made it, like, mm-hmm. more magnified. Well,
that was a home that she was traumatized in over and over and over again, you know? I'm sure that feeds into it, like, definitely.
But she was able to escape that home for at least a couple of years. Because that all happened in 1984, so she came back about 2 years later. And when she did, the Rushes told her, like, womp, we're selling the house, like, good fucking bye. We can either send you to juvie, or you can find a new place to live.
Oh, baby, Tina.
And so she was dating this guy who was, like, way older than she was, because at this point,
she's 17, right?
16.
16, holy fuck.
So she married this guy that was way older than her, named James Bennett, in 1986. And he was also abusive as shit.
Oh, my God.
After John died in 1987, he left Tina like $5,000 for God knows what reason. Maybe just guilt? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Bennett stole all of it, so Tina was just like, fuck you, we're done.
Holy shit.
Tina then became pregnant by a man she never named and gave birth to her daughter Amber on September 29th, 1988. A Libra. Tina remarried to a man named Larry Boyer, who promised to be a good husband and father. Tina then changed her name to Christina Boyer. Again, Larry turned out to be an abusive asshole piece of shit, and started beating both her and her kid. So Tina divorced him as well after he put her in the hospital, and moved in with William Roll and his wife.
Oh, with the researcher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So...
Well, good for him looking out for her, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, he's one of her biggest supporters in all of this.
At least she has someone in her corner that, like, believes...
Oh, yeah.
You know, that she went through something and, like, wants to look out for her.
Yeah. And so he did do a little bit more, like, psychological study now that she was older and had a kid and a lot of things had changed and all of that stuff. His wife kind of stepped in to help, and, like, they just got really close and became, like, lifelong buddies, you know? Except for the day his heart literally shattered. Because on April 13th, 1992, Roll found out that Tina's 3-year-old daughter, Amber, had died while in the care of her boyfriend at the time, David Heron.
Oh,
Tina hadn't even been at the house.
What happened?
We're gonna talk about it.
Oh, no.
It's so sad.
Oh, shit, dude.
This poor woman.
Okay.
Do you need a minute?
No, just go.
Okay. So Tina had been visiting her friend and therapist, Jeannie Lagle, I guess that's how you say it, when Heron called saying he couldn't wake Amber up. After taking her to the hospital, where she was pronounced dead, investigations showed that Amber had been abused for at least a month before her death.
Oh my fucking God.
I want to say right now that none of it was Tina's fault. I'm team Tina in this. I am 100% team Tina in this.
Well, the baby was with her shitty fucking boyfriend.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Ugh. So Tina and Heron were arrested on April 15th, and Tina's testimony was unwavering that she would never, ever, ever fucking ever hurt her child ever, ever in her life.
And that was like the only thing she had.
Heron's, however, was insanely erratic. At first, he claimed he saw Tina hit Amber multiple times and that Tina must have hit her too hard before she left to go to her friends, and that's why she died. Tina, not having been present at the time of Amber's death, stated that she had never been rough with her child and that it must have been Heron's fault. So they go through all of this shit. Heron's interviewed like one final time, and he finally just like breaks down and says, yeah, I was the one that caused the blow to Amber's head, along with admitting that he was the cause for all of the other abuse that investigators found on the body. Tina was kept in jail for 2 years before the trial and was mercilessly beaten and harassed by other inmates. And her trial actually started on Halloween. In 1994.
You sound so cheerful about that for something so sad.
It is. After all the evidence and everything was presented, Tina entered a Alford plea, which is this specific type of plea where you are pleading that you're guilty but maintaining your innocence, basically. So you're saying, yeah, I did it, but I'm innocent.
So, like, yeah, I'm guilty of leaving my child with this abusive man, but I'm innocent
and it was purely to escape the death penalty. She was sentenced to life plus 20 years.
Tina
Heron, despite being found guilty for murder and assault, was only given a 20-year sentence and was released in 2011.
Tina got fucking life.
Yep.
And the guy who killed her baby got out in 2007.
11.
Oh my fucking God.
There have been several attempts to reopen Tina's case to get her out of jail.
Fuck this guy.
But
if you're listening, Darren Heron or whatever the fuck your name is, I'm coming for your ass.
There have been a lot of attempts to, like, she's had a lot of appeals and she's gone for many parole hearings, but none of them have been successful enough to get her out of jail.
Oh, Jesus.
She resides in a prison in Georgia. Her story was featured on a 1993 episode of Unsolved Mysteries, which is where I first heard it. And Roll actually ended up publishing a book on her story, which is called Unleashed, of Poltergeists and Murder, The Curious Story of Tina Resch. So there's a lot of other really sad stuff in here, but I think I'm going to leave it at that.
My God.
So
that's
Tina,
a tough one.
I mean, Tina's still, she's alive and, in prison still, and they're still trying to get her parole because, like, it's very obvious that she wasn't physically guilty of her daughter's murder.
I mean, it's that cycle of abuse. If that's all you've, I mean, this is what my therapist tells me 24/7. If that's all you've known for your entire life, you tend to end up with, like, more abusive people because you don't know how to break yourself out of that cycle.
Yeah.
And that ended up, like, resulting in the death of her daughter and, like, also in crazy poltergeist activity. That's fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
I need a crying break.
Okay.
We will come right back at you with apocalypse news. Stay tuned.
I don't know, man.
Hit me with that sweet, sweet apocalypse news.
Yeah, sorry about that. So,
I just want you to know that every single time I'm like, can I edit this out?
No, please don't.
And then I think of the text that I would get the second I released our episode, and you got to apocalypse news. Just,
you edited it out!
I don't want to deal with that fury in my life, so I leave it in. And I just want you, dear listener, to know that I don't consent to or condone this behavior. But I let it happen because I love you.
You better.
I do.
Anyway. So, California man, Joshua Isgrig, 33, had a court hearing last Thursday and faces 4 counts, including possession of explosives with intent to harm, manufacturing a destructive device without a permit, elder abuse, and credit card fraud.
This is the guy who was, like, arrested for making weapons of mass destruction, right?
Yeah, he basically, like, after they arrested him, they figured out that he basically idolized domestic terrorists and often referenced, like, the 2017 Las Vegas shooting.
And he was building weapons to, like, bring about
the apocalypse.
His own idea of, like, the apocalypse.
Yes. Right? Not great.
Yikes!
Not great. So currently,
not a good look.
No. So he's currently just, like, hanging out in jail, awaiting further sentencing and trial.
He was building a bomb or something?
Yeah. He was looking at bomb-making things.
Did it mention anything about what the elder abuse, like, entailed? Like, he was building a weapon of mass destruction and also, like, kicking the shit out of his grandma? Like, what happened there?
I mean, maybe he had a grandma or his mom was, like, infirm, and that counts as elder abuse.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't take care of them or don't get them the proper care they need.
Anyway, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. Fuck
that dude. It's not often we get, like, a true crime apocalypse news.
I know.
It's a good one.
I just figured, like, true crime, true crime, true crime.
Well, this one isn't true crime. This is a true sad story that I'm about to tell you.
But it's about poltergeists, mm-hmm. and it's about all the horrible things they make us feel.
Well, today I'm going to talk to you about the San Pedro poltergeist.
Okay.
It's also known as the Jackie Hernandez haunting.
Ooh.
Because it's another one, it's attached to the person. It's also, the story is about these two ghosts who are very attached to a house.
Okay.
But we'll also come to find out that Jackie Hernandez herself had an attachment to these ghosts, and they, like, followed her. So, Jackie Hernandez was 23 in 1988.
Okay.
She buys a little bungalow, I actually think she was renting it. Little bungalow in San Pedro, California. Mm-hmm. I think it's Pedro. It might be Pedro.
Pedro.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
100%.
I'm not a Californian.
Neither am I.
I wouldn't know. So she's pregnant. She has a toddler. And she's just left an abusive relationship. She's, like, massively stressed.
Yes.
Stressed. She has to work. You know, and she's literally younger than I am. And younger than you by, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a great time for her. She's just trying to do it on her own. So she moves into this new bungalow. And right the fuck away, shit just starts happening.
Oh, no.
Rocks and pebbles just appear and, like, fall from the ceiling on her and her kids.
That's weird.
Like, from out of nowhere. The kids' toys are, like, constantly being thrown around.
Oh. No.
Lots of, like, physical stuff. You know, books are moved. Paintings fall off the walls right away. And, like, this case is interesting because it's a well-documented case. There's lots of pictures. I'm pretty sure there's a documentary made about it. I did not include the name, though, so sorry, guys.
I won't look at you.
Just a little bit.
I won't look at you.
Blumpkin right now.
That's all right. Take a minute. Shaking your finger like a jazz man.
I taught the toddlers that dance move the other day. The
getting jazzy with
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, I was doing a little Charleston for them, too, but they were not into that.
That's too hard. The Charleston's too hard. But doing the sassy finger wag, like, that's real.
Yeah, and we do have one kid. She's just a natural, like, hand on her hip kind of gal.
Oh, I love those little kids.
She's my favorite.
I was one of those little kids.
She's named after a Star Trek character. Like, she's my favorite kid ever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway.
In San Pedro.
The thing about the San Pedro poltergeist is it's a really well-documented case.
Okay.
There's, like, a movie, like, a documentary that ended up getting made out of it with a bunch of footage from the house.
Yeah.
Because she had a team of photographers with her later in the case. But, so shit just starts popping off immediately, and this poor woman is just trying to raise her kid. She's fucking pregnant. She's alone.
Yeah.
She has no idea how to deal with this, like, at all. She starts having dreams about being, like, a young man in the 30s.
Weird.
Getting, like, brutally murdered with a pipe.
Ew.
And, like, thrown into the ocean.
Ew.
She has this, like, recurring nightmare almost every night.
Who?
Of being this one dude, and it's super vivid. She, like, walked into her kitchen late one night, like, to get, like, a drink or something.
Uh-huh.
And saw a full-bodied apparition of a dude in, like, a plaid shirt and, like, suspenders.
Ooh.
Like, a big, like, older dude.
Ooh.
Sitting in her chair and staring at her with, like, bright red laser eyes. There's this, like, laser-eyed, creepy, like, ghost dude who just appears in her house.
I hate that.
On top of shit flying around, rocks flying around.
Oh, I, like, fucking hate all of that.
Her kids' toys, like, flying right at her.
Ugh,
all hours of the night.
Tonight.
Dude, it's rough. And it gets rough for her, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And she starts, like, telling a couple friends. Told her neighbor, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
Told her friend, Tina, like, hey, guys, you know, turns out I have a poltergeist and I don't know what to do and I don't feel very safe. Can you guys maybe, like, babysit some more? hang out with me at night, like, so I know I'm not going fucking crazy. So Tina, her friend, who honestly feels like a bit of a dumbass.
Okay.
Like, she's super oblivious to a lot of what's going on.
All right.
Like, she was later interviewed and was just like, yeah, I went to check on the kid and, like, the door opened itself up for me. So I went in there and it closed itself behind me and I was just, like, checking on the baby and I didn't think about it or anything. And then it opened itself back up for me when I went to leave. And it does that all the time, and I just didn't think to mention it.
The fuck you
it's
say?
It's just a convenient breeze.
What a vapid... Ugh.
Yeah, she also would have dreams that, like, people were sitting on her, like, a big weight.
Yeah.
Like, a man was, like, sitting on her chest, and she'd wake up, and she couldn't breathe.
That's sleep paralysis right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Susan was, like, a little more... wary, and she was like, you should tell your landlord about this. And Jackie was like, okay, like, maybe, I don't really know. But months pass, and the shit is, like, you know, the Tina Rush case got intense for, like, a week or two.
Yeah.
This woman lived in this house for almost, I think, almost a year. And this shit did not let up.
Oh, my God.
At one point, so Jackie Hernandez hears a noise in the attic. And, it's like something's crashing around in there. Something big is, like, running around. So she goes to check it out.
It's Ghost Cat.
No, like, something big.
Oh.
Like, a full dude, like, bumping around in the attic.
That's not fucking
good. So she gets her flashlight, and she turns a corner into this hallway, and an apparition of a fucking disembodied head, like, decapitated, like, a severed head, just comes, like, racing at her.
No.
Like, nightmare shit, dude. Like, ugh. Full nightmare shit. Mm-hmm.
I hate everything about this right now.
And she's just dealing with this.
We're just staring into the dark.
They eventually start getting... you can turn your headlights on.
I don't know if it's gonna help.
They start getting ectoplasm.
Ooh.
Which is just...
disgusting.
My favorite fucking, like, cases are always ectoplasm cases. Because that shit is so... it's so bad shit crazy. Like, ghost slime... I'm into it. I'm very here for it. I loved Ghostbusters as a kid. All about the ectoplasm. So her sink, unfortunately, just starts leaking like a yellowy slime that smelled like rotting flesh. And her walls also, their fridge a little bit, like...
I hate all of this.
Just goo coming out, which
yeah.
I feel like that's the stage. Jackie, like, kind of put her foot down and was like, this is when I call my landlord to tell him what's happening.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and that goo, so it was later taken to a lab and tested. Human plasma. Still, the shit that you, like, you can go and you can sell when you're really poor. That they take out of your blood and then they put the blood back in.
Yeah, I know.
It was human plasma. With high levels of copper and iodine. It's still, like, unexplained.
I hate that.
Dude,
I hate this.
The San Pedro haunting is the craziest fucking case ever. It's one of my favorites.
Dude, I came at you with, like, a baby case. This is, like, nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
I'm gonna text you at 3:00 in the morning. What the fuck have you done to me?
So, at this point, she's like, I gotta call my landlord. She tells her landlord what's going on. He's like...
yeah,
you're gonna want to call a priest, because I'm just a fucking landlord, and I, like, barely fix your plumbing for you, so, like, fuck that. Like, don't talk to me about that shit ever again. And they call the priest, and the priest, you know, who's supposed to fucking get the ghost out of your house, allegedly,
yeah,
called CPS on her. And was like, this woman's crazy, her children are in danger and her house is full of goo and flying marbles, so maybe go check that out. And so she almost lost her kids over this, because CPS came and
Jesus
she was like,
fucking Christ,
I don't know what to tell you, like, we're just hanging out here, like, no ghost activity. I'm not trying to get my fucking kids taken away.
Yeah,
she was pregante through all of this. She was pregananant. Fuck.
which is
again, like, the trauma of leaving a relationship,
yeah,
being alone, being
yeah
in a new place, being pregnant, having
yeah
a kid,
yeah,
having a job, like, that is just a perfect situation for,
it's
like it's
clusterfuck.
To draw, like, the energy of what, because you'll find, like, this house itself is haunted. It has a very, like, dark backstory. but like she was just in the right place at the right time to be like,
yeah,
affected by it severely. So after the landlord and the priest and the fucking CPS people were absolutely no help at all, she was like, I don't know who the fuck else to call. She gets a hold of Barry Taff, who's a parapsychologist.
Nice.
And Barry Taff gets his team together. It's another guy named Barry, a guy named Jeff, and a guy named Gary. So Barry, Barry, Gary, and Jeff. Probably, I haven't looked at pictures of these dudes, but probably exactly what you would imagine those people, you know, the paranormal
psychologists. You gotta say it one more time.
Barry, Barry, Gary, and Jeff.
I was just listening to the Jeff the Mongoose episode.
Oh, God. Okay. So, Barry, Barry, Gary, and Jeff are this little, like, team of, like, paranormal researchers and yep. photographers.
Bunch
and
of
they're
nerds.
Like, okay, you got goo. We'd love to come take a look, frankly. And, you know.
Yeah.
Same. You text me in the middle of the night, be like, I found some weird goo in my house. I'm like, I'm coming over.
Yeah.
Goo gang. So they start just recording this house.
Yeah.
24/7. They start coming over and taking pictures and recording, you know, Jackie talking about it. And like straight up, some of the shit that like they got on camera is so deeply upsetting. But these dudes just kind of like embedded themselves
nice.
With Jackie Hernandez for several months. And over the course of that time, these four different guys, and at this point, like, it's not just this woman and her kids that are experiencing it. It's her two friends who are over all the time who are experiencing some kind of crazy activity. And now it's these four other guys,
mm-hmm.
like multiple people. It's not one of those, like, it only happens when I'm around.
Yeah.
So no one believes me. So these guys witness, a painting fall off the wall.
Oh my God.
And then the nails appear on the table standing straight up.
Ugh.
That the paintings were hung on.
Okay.
They record the fridge magnets arranging themselves to spell get the hell out.
Oh, okay.
Also, that the creepy man apparition that sometimes appears will scream at them to get the hell out. And we'll find specifically that Jeff gets targeted way more than Barry, Barry, or Gary. Like, Jeff especially gets the shit kicked out of him by this ghost to the point where it almost murders him. So in September, almost a year after she moved there,
yeah.
at this point it's like 10 or 11 months, Barry's team of, like, photographers is, like, hanging out, investigating.
Okay.
They hear crazy noises in the attic, just like Jackie did that night. Like, something's just fucking banging around up there.
Okay.
Jeff goes up to investigate with his camera. Barry's downstairs. He's, like, you know, kind of waiting for Jeff to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
He hears a man scream, get the hell out! And then at exactly the same time, he hears Jeff scream upstairs. So Barry runs up there. Jeff says that his camera was taken out of his hand in the attic by, like, no one in particular, thrown on the ground, and then dismantled and all the parts put in, like, different parts of the attic. Like, sitting in a box, fucking all the way in the other corner. Like, his camera was just taken apart. So that was super unpleasant. But, unfortunately, it gets worse because another time, Jeff and Gary were both in the attic investigating more sounds when Jeff was, like, he was shoved at first.
Okay.
He was pushed with, like, invisible hands. And then something lifts him up by the neck. And an extension cord from, like, just laying around the attic wraps itself around his fucking neck, and he gets hung over the rafters.
Oh, my God.
And this, there is a picture of this man just flying in the air by his neck with no one, like, it is so fucking haunting, dude. It is so creepy.
Ugh.
And he almost fucking died. They, like,
yeah.
they had to run and cut him down, but yeah. this thing was, like, waving him around, and he had a big red mark around his neck.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And that was the point where everyone was like, no, like, you have to move out of this house. You have to take your toddler. You have to go. Like, we all have to go.
Yeah.
Like, we can't be here anymore.
So Jackie moved, but the ghosts followed her.
Oh, girl, no way.
And one of the last things that happened to her before they moved was she woke up one night and there was this ball of light, like, sitting on her chest. Ugh. And it, like, you know, got her up and out of bed and, like, made her follow it out of her house, down the street 13 blocks to a little cemetery, to the grave of someone named John Damon. And we'll go on to find, because they do Ouija sessions, and find out the history of this house and the people who died in this house. Because there's two ghosts.
Okay.
One of them is the ghost of the man who built the house.
Okay.
The big, angry, like, full-body, laser-eyed apparition that everyone's seeing.
Okay.
Because Jackie went and looked up the history of this fucking house and found out all this shit. So that was John Damon.
Fuck.
The grave. He was buried 13 blocks down the house.
Down the street.
Down the street from the house. And that was the aggro, like, murder ghost.
Yeah.
The other ghost is the ghost of a man, and I don't think I wrote his name down, but it was the man that John Damon murdered in the 30s by hitting him in the head with a pipe and throwing him in the fucking ocean. So these spirits were very much interacting with Jackie Hernandez and attempting to tell their story. Like, they were leading her to their final resting places. They were coming to her in dreams. And,
oh, my,
like,
God.
It's just the struggle of, like, the man this guy murdered haunting him, and him haunting his own house, and both of them, like, finding Jackie to be this, like, conduit, to the point where they follow her to her new home.
Oh, my God.
So one day, she's moving into this new place, away from this fucking batshit crazy bungalow, and a neighbor's helping her move a TV. It's unplugged, right? And they're moving into the storage shed, and all of a sudden, the face of this man, John Damon, the laser eye fucking old dude, appears on the TV screen.
I hate all of it.
With it unplugged, and the neighbor sees it too. They're like, holy shit! They put it in the storage shed, lock the storage shed, and the entire night they heard banging coming out of it. Like, ugh, like someone was trying to get out of the storage shed. And so, shit doesn't leave her alone. She's still having, like, poltergeist activity.
Uh-huh.
Her kids' toys are still flying everywhere. She calls the team in again. She calls Barry, Barry, Gary, and Jeff. And they have a Ouija session. And they ask, how many ghosts? And the answer is, phantoms fill the skies.
Wow, okay.
Which is super upsetting.
I hate that.
They ask, why did you target Jeff so much? And it said, he looks like my killer. And he did.
Okay.
Jeff looked a little bit like the aggro murderer ghost.
Okay.
And they asked, why Jackie? And it answered, energy. And then, what kind of energy? And then, dead. And then, I must go now. The sun has come. So that was a fun and charming...
I hate all of that.
Ouija interactions.
Hate all of
it. They also apparently, in their seance, contacted the ghost of a man who was murdered in his 30s, or in the 30s, mm-hmm. with a lead pipe and thrown in the ocean. So they kind of put together this story and, like, you know, couldn't really help Jackie out. Like, she moved to a whole bunch of different places with her kids, and every time it got, like, a little better, like, it happened less frequently.
Uh-huh.
And she eventually shook them off completely and is, like, living an okay life.
Oh, that's good. Now, thank God.
Yeah, thank God for her. But, like, that shit followed. Can you imagine escaping something like that? Only to find that, like, it fucking followed your ass.
I hate it.
Across, like, county lines, state lines. Fucking worst nightmare shit. So, the house is still haunted.
Cool.
No one, as of 2008, no renter has stayed there for more than 6 months.
Okay.
Without being, like, without noping out of it.
Fair.
So, yeah. That's the San Pedro haunting. Fucking...
You gave me nightmares from now until the end of time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just... It's one of the more aggro
ghost stories.
It is.
Like, to be physically attacked and, like, hung, no less.
Yeah, that's fucking horrifying.
Yeah, and...
R.I.P.
So just
all of my good thoughts.
Fucking pregnant through that shit, too. Ugh.
That poor baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, holy shit, I'm a little, like, spooked. I'm a little traumatized.
Yeah, I'm really afraid to turn on the car lights now.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Oh, God.
It'll be totally fine.
That's what we said the last time.
Hey, thanks for spending October with us.
Hell yeah.
We're having so much fun. Thank you to everyone who has entered our giveaway so far.
Oh, my God.
There's still tons of time to do that. We've got, some super cool merch coming. Can't wait.
I'm so excited. They're going to be shipping out so soon.
Mm-hmm. And, you know how to enter. You can find us on Instagram at Dumb and Restless Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter at Dumb Restless Pod.
If you have any listener stories, any show suggestions, field trip suggestions, just want to say hi, tell us about a weird dream you had, anything like that, hit us up on our email at dumbandrestlesspodcast@gmail.com. If you've had a poltergeist experience, please tell me, because I can't get enough of them, but also they terrify me.
Yeah, it's awful. I'm never going to sleep ever again.
Yeah. It's going to take a long time and a few glasses of wine to unwind from this one. But we love you.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us for episode whatever this is now.
Oh, 15. Holy shit, time's not real. Episode 15?
Yeah, I think so.
15, baby.
Coming at you hot and heavy next week with some other crazy demon shit.
Yeah, I think we're talking about exorcisms.
We're talking about exorcisms.
So scary.
This is going to be so great. All right. Thanks for joining us for another episode of our Spooky October. Join the giveaway.
Yeah, we love you. Love to have you. This has been Panda and Morgan.
The Dumb and the Restless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.